As we get ready for our message today, would you all please join me in a spirit of prayer? Loving God, guide our thoughts and words this day. You are the potter, we are your clay. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I want to start out with something today that, had I known about it, I would have said last week. God loves you. So if you're a guest with us, apparently there is a tradition in this congregation that if the pastor or someone in front says, God loves you, everybody says, so one last time with gusto, God loves you. Nicely done. They really were on top of things. Awesome. Our theme this week is compassion. But we need that reminder to start off with. We are loved. God loves each and every one of us. I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded of that each week, each day, each hour, each minute, maybe each second. Sometimes I lose my focus from time to time. But we also have to remember something. Not only does God love us, and not only does God invite us to love God back and to be changed by that relationship and to have everything in our life become different by that relationship, but the gospel doesn't stop there. Jesus said there are two great commandments: love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. To completely follow Christ, we need to be engaged in compassion, in love to all those we meet. We need to act in such a way that each brother or sister that we meet, we, like God teaches us to through Christ, need to be treated as a beautiful and beloved child of God, truly our brothers and sisters. So when I was in college, there was a time that this passage that we read for today really spoke to me. It was presented in a different way. I went to college down at the University of Illinois, and there was a Wesley Foundation there. That's a campus ministry. And they had a group at that time called Wesley Witness. And Wesley Witness was a group of students who, through song and drama, would go out and lead worship services in churches around central Illinois. Sometimes I think they'd come up this far north as well. They shared a drama based on this passage that we read about the acts of compassion that Jesus talked about. In the drama, there was one person and one character who quietly served God. They prayed and they worshiped and they read their Bible, but they also volunteered in their community, helping the children and the elderly in their community. And they gave and shared of what they had with those who were in need. And each day they tried to make sure that the world was a little bit better than they found it. Now, there were several other people in the drama that talked about Christianity all the time. And they talked and told everyone they listened to Christian radio and Christian TV all the time. And they talked about how they read Christian books all the time. And they talked about how they wore Christian t-shirts all the time. But they didn't volunteer to help anyone in their community. They were not generous of what they had to those who were in need. They ignored the suffering of the poor, the marginalized, and the lonely who were around them. And when these folks died and they came and met Jesus face to face, they couldn't understand why Jesus wasn't happy with them. They couldn't understand why they hadn't done what Jesus had asked. And Jesus basically said to them, "You forgot the second part. You forgot to be compassionate." Now, when I was 18 years old, there was a lot about the Bible I struggled to understand. There's still a lot about the Bible I struggle to understand. There was a lot about faith I didn't understand. But that idea that we are called to love everyone we meet, whether they are important or whether they seem insignificant, the call to treat them all as beautiful and beloved children of God, now that's something I could wrap my head around. That was something I could understand. And that was something I could try to live out. Excuse me. This passage is one of those rare ones in the Bible where, both in themes and details, the world that Jesus describes is really not all that different from the world that we live in today. In Jesus' time, there were plenty of people that lacked food. In fact, for large segments of the population, if there was a drought, they would go hungry, and that was just the reality. Well, in our world today, are there still hungry people around us? Are there still hungry people in our community? In this nation where we produce so much food, enough food to feed billions of people, there are so many people who are hungry, or if not hungry, they do not have a balanced diet. They do not get the nutrients they need to live a healthy life. And is it any different when Jesus describes people who are naked, people who don't have the clothes and the blankets they need to stay warm at night or to keep the rain off? Is that any different than when, come winter, you see a child who's wearing a couple of tube socks over their hands because they can't afford a pair of gloves? Or maybe they don't even have the tube socks at all? Isn't it a similar kind of problem to what Jesus was describing? In Jesus' day, if there was a drought, if there was a famine, if there was a war, people had to leave. They had to go someplace where they could try to be safe, where they could try to get food. There's story after story in the Bible where the people of God had to flee from one place and go to another just so they could have something to eat. How many of us have known someone who had to leave one region of the United States and move to another in a desperate attempt to find work? Maybe that's a story some of us can identify with because we've lived it. Or what about all the people who have to leave their homeland because it's dangerous there, whether due to crime or due to war or due to something else entirely, and they go to some other country trying to find a place where they can safely raise their children? Has the world really changed that much? Jesus said we are to welcome the stranger, and there are still plenty of strangers among us. It goes without saying that illness is still a part of our lives, and that we need help to recover from illness, and that it helps when someone shows love to us when we're on our sickbed. And one final one to think about. Think about people in prison. In Jesus' day, there were people in prison who had committed a crime and some of them who had not committed a crime. But they languished and they suffered alone and they were often treated with cruelty. They were treated inhumanely. I've heard an awful lot of jokes in my life about how people want bad things to happen to prisoners, or they just don't care what happens to prisoners. Has the world really changed all that much from the way prisoners could feel alone and desperate in Jesus' day? Jesus asks us something through this parable. It's a simple and a direct question, but it's a vital one we all need to answer for ourselves each day. What are y'all going to do about it? What are we going to do about the people who are hungry, who are thirsty, who are sick, who are in prison, who are just lonely and suffering? Jesus asked us long ago to feed the hungry, provide clean water for those who don't have it, to give clothes to people who don't have them, to treat newcomers in a community as honored guests, to visit and care for people who are sick and hurt, and to care about the people who are incarcerated. And maybe we could add a few more to those in the modern world. Are we willing to mentor a child or a teenager who doesn't have a lot of stable presences in their lives? Are we willing to train someone who needs new job skills so they can hopefully find a job that'll provide enough for them to feed their family? Are we willing to give blood to the people that need it? Are we willing to give our organs when we die so that others might live? Are we willing to do whatever it takes to help people live with health and safety and hope and dignity and do it all in the name of Jesus Christ? Even the least of these, those who will never be able to repay us or might not even consider repaying us, even these we are called to serve. As it says in one of the hymns in our hymnal, these are the ones we should serve. Now, you might hear this today, and you might think to yourself, well, what can I do? Well, first off, you can do something. You may already be doing it, and if you are, keep doing it. But if you're not doing anything, or if you feel that maybe God's calling you to something else, try and truly go to God and say, what is God asking me to do? I want to share two concrete, real examples of how people at very different stages of their lives shared and showed compassion. One of these people was named Peggy. She was old. And I'm not saying that to be mean. That's how she described herself. She said, I'm old. I think she was over 90 when I met her nearly a decade ago. She has since gone on to be with Jesus. She lived in a modest trailer with her husband, who she'd been married to for over 60 years, and they lived in a mobile home park that was for senior citizens. Peggy couldn't walk very well anymore, and she and her husband had a lot of health problems. They weren't able to drive when I met them. At least I don't think they were still able to drive when I met them. So the only time they could come and worship at church is when someone would go and pick them up. Now, Peggy, when she was younger and healthier and more able to get around, had done a lot of things. She'd worked with kids. She'd worked with teens. She'd worked heavily in the food pantry in that community. I think she'd even been one of the founders of the food pantry in that community. But by the time I knew her, her health and her mobility meant that she couldn't do any of those things anymore. But she still did something. If you visited Peggy in her house, she had an old TV tray in front of her chair with many sheets of paper on it, and on those sheets of paper were names, long lists of names. Everyone who was a member of that congregation and anyone else she heard about or someone told her about who needed prayers. And every day she prayed by name for dozens of people who she knew needed prayers, who she knew were suffering. I know as a pastor, it was a wonderful thought to think, you know, a couple times a month, Peggy's praying for me today. It really touched my heart when I found out what she did. She knew she couldn't do what she once did, but she knew she couldn't stop doing something. And she believed that the power of prayer would help people. And so she continued to pray for the sick, the hurt, the prisoner. Now, Anthony was the opposite of Peggy in almost every way. He was young. He was tall. He was a man. He was in very good health. Frankly, better health than I am now, probably. But however, like Peggy, he wanted to help. He wanted to show compassion. I met Anthony in seminary. He started seminary the same year that my wife did. He was a year behind me. And like me, he lived in Theology House, which was one of the dormitories at Boston University for the seminary students. Now, if you lived in a dorm, you could get a meal plan through the university cafeteria, or cafeterias, I should say. So like me, he would get his meals in the cafeteria. And if you had a meal plan, you were given five guest meals a month. Five times a month, you could invite someone to eat with you, and they would eat for free. Well, since I was dating Megan at the time, and I was rather fond of her, I usually invited her to come and have a meal because she lived in an off-campus apartment and didn't have a meal plan. Anthony did something else. Anthony was and is dedicated to ministry with the marginalized and the poor and the forgotten as anyone I've probably ever met. After he graduated from seminary and after a few years of prayer, he decided to become a Franciscan monk, and he lives and works in Manhattan. There was a homeless man that lived in and around the university campus. He was dirty. He didn't smell very good. He liked to swear sometimes, and he could be a little bit loud. Most students avoided him. Anthony invited him to have a guest meal every month. Not just once, either. Anthony used his guest meals to help feed this man because he wanted to make sure he had at least one healthy meal when he could. Now, Anthony never advertised this. He didn't say anything about it to anyone. The only reason I knew is I saw him having dinner with this man more than once. Jesus says we're supposed to feed the hungry. Anthony did it. There's one last point I want to make about ministries of compassion. And we need to remember this. We don't just do this out of a sense of duty. We don't just do this because we say, okay, Jesus says we should and we have to follow the rules. When we are in ministries of compassion, when we are doing things like this, we are in relationship with people, and it might be that God uses those times to show us what God's love is like in a way that we can never experience any other way. I remember almost 20 years ago, I was on a construction site on a mission trip in Costa Rica. I was covered with dust and cement and a little bit sunburned. And I was as happy as I'd ever felt because we were pouring some forms that were going to be a new church and a new homeless shelter in a community that needed both of them desperately. I felt like I was actually doing something to help people, and I felt the love and the joy of God in a way I maybe had never felt before. I remember many years later, after I'd become a pastor, sitting in a hospital room with a man who was dying of bone cancer. And yet everything he said was how grateful he was to God. He said, "Thank you, Jesus, for all the love you've shown me. Thank you for this life that I've gotten to live. I am so grateful, God." He was practically singing praises to God as he lay dying. I remember sitting there and just soaking it in and thinking to myself, this is why they say gratitude is so important. Had I not been in that place, I would never have had that amazing opportunity. God spoke to me through John as he lay dying. It is in service to others. It is the times when we are the hands or the feet or the voice or the listening ears, that's one I got to work on, of God that we sometimes most profoundly understand what God is trying to do to transform the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. This passage we read for today has since my college days rung in my head, reminding me that I need to try to be compassionate and loving to everyone I meet, even the times I don't really want to be. We are called to live this way. So people of God, whether this is your home church or you're a guest, whether you're a follower of Jesus Christ or you're still not sure about this whole Jesus thing, whoever you are, I ask you today, what might God be calling you to do to serve? Maybe you're already doing it. Maybe you need to start doing it. But what is God calling you to do to serve the least of these this week and every week ahead? May we hear the call of God's Holy Spirit. Amen.